This is Advent Sunday. It's the beginning of the church's year, and I'm wearing purple. I wear purple in Advent, and I wear it at funerals. And the reason is that they're both about a kind of waiting. They're about the fact that things have not yet been quite fulfilled, that the end result has not quite been reached. And that's the case with Advent. Advent is a time of waiting. It's the time of waiting for Christmas, for the coming of God in human form. And waiting is very difficult to do. Waiting is not something which our culture is good at. You remember the good old days when a young couple were going to get married and they'd be engaged for about 2 or 3 years while they assembled the money necessary for buying the house and the furniture and things like that. Wouldn't happen today. No. They'd be living together and they would be putting everything on lay-by or hire purchase or something like that. We don't do waiting. We don't like it. This is the age of immediacy. We want everything now. In some ways, the religious movements like Pentecostalism, though they have a lot to be said for them, nevertheless are about the end of waiting. You have immediate religious experience. You don't have to work for it, really. It just happens to you. And as a consequence, in some ways, it can be very superficial. Now, what we're into here is not something that is superficial. How could it be superficial when the Almighty God becomes a suffering human being and a helpless child? That's not superficial. That's so extraordinarily profound that all sorts of people who should grasp it don't grasp it. Even people wearing mitres on their heads from time to time don't seem to want to grasp this. It is extraordinarily profound. Simple, as profound things often are, but profound all the same. And therefore, we have to wait. And waiting is a teaching experience. It's a learning experience. But it won't be if you fill it in with all sorts of other things. And that's what we do, by and large. I do it. You do it, probably. We all do it. We don't like to wait. We don't want to just sort of sit there and be there. We don't want to stare into the void, because it is a void. It's about an absence. It's about an absence of fulfillment. About being incomplete. We wait because we are unfulfilled. We wait because we are incomplete. And we have doubts that what we wait for will arrive. And even though when it does, we'll want it or like it or feel at home with it. So waiting is an extraordinarily difficult thing to do. And yet, it's a very important thing to do. Because it's about withdrawing from immediate gratifications, satisfactions, and diversions. When we wait, we are, unless we try and cover it up, as I say, when we wait, we are withdrawn from these things. We are simply focused on the thing that we wait for. And that is an absolutely vital and essential part of our religion. We are withdrawn from things in order to concentrate on something more important. And that's why, I suppose, people go and become hermits or go to monasteries and all those kind of things, because they are withdrawing from something in order to find something else. And that something else will be found not externally but internally. We're all into externals. Externals make us aware of the fact, or at least hide from us the fact, that we're empty inside. If we've just got enough booze or enough houses or enough money or enough this or that or trophy wives or whatever it is we have or toy boys, then we won't notice that we're sort of empty inside. And this internal emptiness is absolutely necessary to us because it's the space which God can fill. Without this space, God cannot fill it. If we are filling it ourselves with all sorts of junk, then God can't, as it were, get in. But as St. John Chrysostom said, find the door to your heart and you will find that it is the gateway to the kingdom of heaven. Now that sounds a bit sort of mawkish and sentimental and so on, but what he's actually trying to say is that we don't experience God way out there. We don't experience God beyond the furthest star. We experience God internally. And one of the great tragedies of modern Christianity has been that all too many people have filled our pews very rightly and properly. It's been wonderful to see them and all that kind of thing for, you know, the last 300 or 400 years. But they've done it out of a sense of social duty. They haven't actually experienced the inner reality of it. Now, I'm not in any way begrudging that, because, of course, in many ways it's people like that that have kept the place going, and I'm sure that God has blessed them and used them to his glory and will fulfill them beyond the grave. But there is another thing, and this other thing is the thing that people now want in our society. It's no good just being told about something. No good just going through the automatic rituals. You need to know it inside. This is also the age of the individual person. The individual person is not very keen simply to be told what to do. Well, of course we are if it's advertising and things like that. But if it's a sort of an institution like the church, we don't want to be told. We want to know it for ourselves. Don't tell me about God. No, I want to experience it. It's for me. And they're quite right. They're quite right. That is exactly what we should be doing or striving for, to experience this thing. But as with all waiting, it requires faith. Will it come? Will what we wait for actually come? If we sit there and look at a white wall, for example, which is what I try to do, and just try and be absolutely still and one-pointed, as it were, will it come? Or will it just be nothing? Will it be meaningless? Will it just be a waste of time? That's the risk you have to take. But that's what life's about. Life's about taking extraordinary risks in order to experience something much greater than we are used to. And so Advent is about this waiting. And when the experience arrives, as it will, on midnight between the 24th and the 25th of December, we might be able to recognize what we're looking at. Because we waited for it. And because we haven't allowed ourselves to be led astray by all sorts of other images and fantasies and desires and wants, which we think are what it's all about. When the Lord finally came, he came not as what they expected. He didn't come as the great conqueror, the liberator from the Romans. He came as a small and powerless child. And yet in that small and powerless child was everything. Absolutely everything. The reality that fills not only our hearts, but the whole of the universe and beyond. So waiting helps us to recognize, to realize what it is we want, to acknowledge that we are empty, that we are incomplete, and to make us ready to look very carefully and very clearly, so that when the great presence arrives, even if it arrives in the case of a small child in a manger, we'll be there, and we'll be able to recognize the glory that lies even within this littleness and smallness and powerlessness, and to recognize it and accept it with joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.